Welcome to the Parsha class of Ki Tzetzeh 5766. Here we are again, continuing with Sefer Devarim. I'd just like to recap the approach that we've been taking in Sefer Devarim. Sefer Devarim, as we all know, is referred to as Deuteronomy, which is taken from the Hebrew words Mishneh Torah, which means Deuteronomy, or a review of the Torah. And that is a name that was chosen by the sages as they assigned every book with a name of its essential theme. Genesis being from the word Yetzira, or creation. Exodus from Sefer Geula, or the Book of Redemption. You'll notice that Genesis is not the translation of Bereshis, which is what we normally call the book. Bereshis means in the beginning. Genesis is more than in the beginning. Genesis means the creation. And Exodus is not the translation of Shemos, which just means names, but rather it is the translation of Geula, which means redemption. And each of the five books has its name, which symbolizes its essential theme. So Devarim, Deuteronomy, has as its central theme Mishneh Torah, which is really not a theme at all. It is a review or a repetition of that which has already been written into the Torah. And we spent a good couple of sessions talking about that. What is the purpose of having a book of the Torah which recaps or reviews or repeats what is written in the other books of the Torah? First of all, we know that the Torah does not mince words. It does not repeat itself unnecessarily. Furthermore, if we would want to review what the Torah says, well, there could be four books and we could be told to read them twice, once through and then once more for review. So that the purpose of having a sefer whose job is to review the other Svarim was difficult to understand. So the proposal that I had for this was to say that the purpose of Mishneh Torah, the purpose of Deuteronomy, of having a book which reviews, is in order to teach us the importance of review. The importance of reviewing that which we already know. And this is not just a nice idea, but actually this is something which, according to the halacha, the Jewish law, and particularly emphasized by the Balei Musar, those teachers of character refinement, this is something that they hold so strongly as a duty, as an obligation of an individual to review, A, that which he knows already, particularly in the area of faith, in the area of morality, and in the area of introspection, because, as Rabbi Luzzatto puts it in the beginning of his work on ethics, Mesilas Yesharim, the path of the just, that which is most known by us is the most easily forgotten and overlooked. And people are usually very interested in hearing something new, not usually to review something old, thinking that it's not necessary to review that which is well known. And because of that, human nature has it that we tend to forget the most obvious things. So it is deemed a religious obligation to set aside time, daily, weekly, monthly, particularly as we approach Rosh Hashanah, and engage in the process of Cheshbon HaNefesh, in soul accounting, soul, S-O-U-L, whereby we sit down and we examine. We examine the truths that we hold to be truths. What is right? What is wrong? What is the right way to conduct ourselves? All the different areas of our life, objectively, and then to review subjectively whether we in fact are living up to those standards of right and wrong And it's something that if we don't do that, we will become, as Mesilas Yesharim describes, like a blind man groping in the dark, just going from one thing to the next, always going forward, always moving ahead, always seeing what's the next thing on my list, what's the next thing on the agenda, what's the next project, and taking little, if at all, time to look back on what we've already accomplished, to ask whether we did accomplish it, whether it was good, what we did, and so forth. The process of Cheshbon HaNefesh is so important in Jewish life, and so much so that it's possible that that is why Hashem ordained a separate Sefer in the Torah, just for the purpose of reviewing, of taking another look at that which has already happened, or those commandments which we've already received. Anyway, that is the theme that we developed for the Sefer of Devarim. And with that theme, we started to look at each parsha as another step in the Cheshbon HaNefesh process, which would be a blueprint for anyone who wanted to embark in Cheshbon HaNefesh to follow. So that, say, a Parshas Devarim was the parsha of, maybe we will call it chastisement. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jewish people, let's look at some of the past deeds of your ancestors, how they were not always righteous, how they made mistakes, how they made bad decisions, how they did things that cost a lot for the Jewish people, such as the golden calf, such as the sending of spies, and also looking at good things such as the victories over our enemies, making sure that we remember as we go into the future that we did not win these wars because of our military might, but because of God's assistance. To make sure that we keep that in mind and we constantly review it, because in the future, when we're faced with those very same challenges, we will have to approach it with hindsight, with the clarity of knowledge of our history. So Devarim was the chastisement, making us aware that it is important to review. Bo'eshanan was the parsha which contained our mission statement. That's definitely a big part of any introspection, of any Cheshbon HaNefesh. If we want to decide if we're doing the right thing, if we're on the right path, we have to review and affirm what it is that our mission is. And this was some of the basic tenets of Judaism as described in Parshas Bo'eshanan: having a relationship with God, being a treasured nation, getting the land of Israel, which was a special place for this relationship to take place, and the covenant, the Ten Commandments, the Shema, the basic tenets of Judaism were covered in Bo'eshanan. The next Parsha, Ekev, reviewed some of the important psychological attitudes which people might have, we might have. Moshe Rabbeinu cautioning us against a sense of complacency when we get to the land of Israel and become wealthy. He cautioned us against the attitude of self-righteousness, thinking that God has helped us because of our merits, and reminding us that was really not, but because of the merits of the forefathers, and also because of the wickedness of the other nations, and so on and so forth. Attitudes. That was the theme of Ekev. Again, an important step in the process of Cheshbon HaNefesh. Re'eh were the fundamentals of mitzvos. We discussed many of the key mitzvos that individuals do: kashrus, holidays, the whole idea of mitzvos versus averos, the transgressions. It was a very basic mitzvah review lesson, and that was the theme of Re'eh, and certainly part of a Jewish Cheshbon HaNefesh. Shoftim, last week, was the parsha of institutionalized Judaism, the important functions that the nation must play as a nation: judges, officers, courts, prophets, war, armies. And as we discussed there, this was the important aspect of communal life. Introspection must include not only the individual accounting, but also the communal accounting. And we spoke about how the criteria for communal life must be measured with the four pillars of the divine throne: chesed, emes, kindness and truth, mishpat and tzedek, justice and righteousness. So, we're all waiting anxiously with bated breath to find out what's the next step in the process of cheshbon hanefesh, because it's surely going to be outlined in the Parsha of Kisetze. And certainly as soon as we uncover the central theme of Kisetze, we're going to have the next step in that process. And so we anxiously opened up Kisetze. We started to look for the common theme. And we looked on the margins. The woman of beautiful form, the captive woman. The firstborn's inviolable right. Okay, don't see the pattern yet. The wayward and rebellious son, hanging and burial, concern for the property of another. Male and female garb. Well, maybe the next one will give us the theme. Sending the mother bird from the nest. Well, how about the theme is unusual mitzvos, protective fence, tzitzis, the defamation of a married woman, adultery, marriages, okay, sanctity of the camp, an escaped slave, interest, vows to God, a worker's right to eat, the millstone, kidnapping, tsaras, oh my goodness. What in the world is the theme of Kisetze? It can't be mitzvos, because that was re'e, or so we thought. Finding a common theme in Kisetze is almost impossible. Does that ruin our thesis? What is the lesson in Cheshbon HaNefesh? The problem with Kisetze is that everything seems to be an independent, individual topic, not related to the one before or after it. I mean, certainly, we could study each one on its own right, but trying to take the theme approach and the pattern approach is very challenged by this one parsha. So, what is the theme of Kisetze? The theme of Kisetze is that not everything is a question of a theme. The theme of Kisetze is that indeed the laws of the Torah cannot only be studied as, I'm going to use the terms that we used often in Sefer Bamidbar, the theme of which was Klal and Prat, the general and the specific, the group and the individual. The theme of Kisetze is that not everything in the Torah can be understood by the klal approach, by the approach of let's just get the big picture and walk home with the message. The message of Kisetze is that the Torah, to really be understood, has to also be delved into in the pratim, in the specific laws, in the specific sections. Each one on its own, each one with its own depth and its own parameters and its own guidelines, regardless of what is written before or after it. I think we've mentioned before in the class that the yeshiva experience, the experience of learning, advanced Talmudic learning, is divided up into two primary forms. Usually, in most yeshivos, divided by the two parts of the day. The morning time, where the mind is sharper, more alert, is generally spent in learning in what's called bi'iyun, in depth, with greater analysis and understanding. The afternoon session, where one tends to be a little less alert, is spent on bikius, is spent on breath learning. To illustrate the difference between bi'iyun and bikius, learning in depth versus learning in breath, there's a famous statement attributed to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, one of the great rabbinic sions in the 1700s or early 1800s. Rabbi Akiva Eiger was once asked how fast he learns. What's his pace of learning in his typical learning session? So he said, well, when I'm learning bikius, when I'm learning for breath, I cover 100 pages in an hour. And when I'm learning bi'iyun, when I'm learning for deep, thorough, analytical understanding, I learn one page in 100 hours. That's the difference between bi'iyun and bikius. And when one studies really in everything, we come to realize the importance of these two styles of learning. They are complementary. You can't have one without the other and be considered a scholar. And that's really the idea of klal and prat. If a person only learns pratim, if a person only learns details, they come up with like digging a hole in the ground and being down there in the middle of the earth without having a big picture, without understanding the relationship between these mitzvos or this information and the rest of the body of knowledge. When one only has a broad understanding, then one has a hekef, one has a panoramic view with no depth and without the ability to reason and to truly understand. And this is very, very important in learning. This is important in life, in relationships. My mother once told me that you can help many people a little and you can help a few people a lot. And that's something that she lived by. And it also helps in understanding oneself and understanding issues and problems. Sometimes you are trying to do a lot of things and manage your time so that you can cover all the things that you have to cover. But sometimes you have to deal with a particular issue and it cannot be dealt with quickly or with a snap answer. One has to sit and ponder. That's what Kiseitse perhaps provides for us in our process of Cheshbon HaNefesh. Each mitzvah in Kiseitse stands alone. Yes, there may be some connection between them, but primarily each mitzvah stands alone and has to be studied independently. And that, for us, is the lesson of knowing when to go for the klal, to be balanced, and knowing when to dive in and to be able to thoroughly exhaust a topic or an idea. Just to show an example, and I have to admit that very often in our class we have been focusing on themes and on getting the big picture, which I think is extremely valuable. Very often we study Torah, independent snippets, we hear a Dvar Torah, it has a message, good, but there is something more. The Torah is a great masterpiece, it is a puzzle, it is something that has a unified whole, a unified voice, a unified theme. And that has to be pointed out. But sometimes we just have to learn in depth. So I wanted to actually choose one of the mitzvos of the Parsha just as an example to illustrate, because this week I happened to be sent an email about the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, of sending away the mother bird, from Rav Weinberg, of blessed memory. And I thought that his piercing insight and depth of understanding is something which always inspired us. When you learn the Iyun, when you have that ability to analyze and penetrate, that's when you really uncover the wisdom and the insights. It's essential. If a person does not involve himself in the Iyun process, he just doesn't quite get what the Torah is saying. So just to read a couple of paragraphs here of this email. If we had to link two commandments in the Torah, there are many that would come to mind easily. What about the commandments of honoring one's parents and sending away the mother bird before you take her young? Not exactly on the top of the list, is it? Yet there is a strong connection between the directive of Shiluach HaKein, sending away the mother bird before you take her young, which is discussed in Parshas Kisetze, and Kibud Avoim, honoring one's parents. By the way, this is written by Rabbi Baruch Leff, who was a student of Rav Weinberg, and devoted himself to writing and spreading and disseminating many of Rav Weinberg's teachings on the Chumash. And he's actually edited a book called Forever His Students. Continuing, the Torah says that if one finds a bird's nest where the mother bird is sitting and watching the eggs, or the chicks, the finder is not allowed to take both the mother and the eggs, but must first send away the mother and then take the eggs. The reward for this is length of days. As we may be aware, there is only one other place where the Torah uses the expression, you will have length of days, as a reward. And that is the mitzvah of honoring one's parents. There must be some kind of common denominator between these two commandments, which otherwise appear totally dissimilar and unrelated. That common denominator is self-sacrifice. Here is where Be'iyun departs from Be'kius. On the surface, you say, okay, there's two mitzvahs, honoring parents, sending away the mother bird. They're both rewarded by long life. Okay? Good thing to know. But what do we do with it? This requires a piercing depth of perception, which only a great student of Torah who devotes himself to the process of in-depth learning can uncover for us. The common denominator is self-sacrifice. The Torah recognizes and grants great reward for commandments which involve our recognition of Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice. When the Torah instructs us to honor our parents, it is telling us that parents exhibit tremendous Mesiras Nefesh for their children, beginning with being woken up at all hours of the night during infancy and childhood, to the financial stresses of paying for education and the wedding. Parenting, by definition, is about sacrificing one's own comforts for their children. The Torah prescribed the great reward of length of days for honoring one's parents in order to cause people to appreciate the Mesiras Nefesh that parents exhibit. It's kind of like a motivation. We motivate, we give the greatest rewards to that which we want most to be done. Hashem wants us, above all things, to recognize the value of Mesiras Nefesh, of the quality of self-sacrifice. This is exactly the same concept we find concerning Shiluach HaKein, sending away the mother bird before you take her young. Anyone who has ever tried to catch a bird knows that it is a virtually impossible task. So when does a person ever encounter a situation where he can catch a bird? Won't the bird fly away? The answer is that really the only kind of bird that you can catch without extreme expertise is a mother bird. Because where is she? She's not out there flying. She's sitting on her nest if she has young. Like all mothers, she is willing to sacrifice and give over her own freedom in order to remain with her children. So if somebody says, well, I want to get a bird, I know where to go. I'm going to go find myself a nest and I'm going to go grab the mother. When somebody does that, he is taking advantage of the self-sacrifice present in the maternal instinct of the mother to her offspring. That is prohibited by the Torah. By granting the mother her freedom and sending her away, not taking her, we avoid utilizing her attribute of self-sacrifice against her. So the Torah says, do not take this mother, because if you do that, you will be denying her the most virtuous of all virtues, self-sacrifice. You will be preying on her strength and using it against her. Now, this is an insight which I would never think of. To pierce through the layers of seeming unsimilarity between one mitzvah and the other, to carve it down to the core and to say, that parenting, kibud av o'em, honoring parents, recognizes self-sacrifice. And Hashem even points out that attribute in the animals for us to observe and for us to learn. That is something which is incredibly deep, which is incredibly insightful. Imagine having the ability to derive these kind of insights from every single mitzvah in the Torah. That's incredible. Imagine being able to look at a common everyday problem which seems to have no solution, and by being able to pierce it, be able to take it apart, look at its components, and to be able to come up with a solution which will be workable for all the people involved. That is an incredible process. Imagine to be able to understand our deep emotional and psychological needs, or that of another person, because of great insight and wisdom. That is an incredible thing. That is the theme of Kisese. That is the next step in Cheshbon HaNefesh. We have to develop, we have to perfect, we have to practice learning deeply, separating for the moment one topic from another, and going down deep sea diving and getting to the essential core. Perhaps by not having a theme, this is the implied theme of Kisetze, and it is an important part of learning. It is an important part of living, and hopefully it's something that through the process of learning that we have available to us, we will be able to use that in the path and the process of Cheshbon HaNefesh, of introspection, and with that to uncover the great truths that lie beneath the surface, and we will be able to come to a complete service of Hashem and perfection, both in areas of religious man to God as well as man to man.